may have the opportunity to take a stand for God. So we're going to do a quick review at chapter 1, and then we'll get into the message, and then we will be out of here. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So look at verse 3. It's the king speaking. Speaks to Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel. Underline certain of the children. So God doesn't, the enemy doesn't want all children. He only wants certain because he already has most. He already has most, so he's not interested in the most. He's interested in the certain ones that are taking a stand for God. So as we talk to our youth, we have to understand, and they have to understand, that the enemy, he doesn't want all your friends. He already has them. But he definitely wants you. So he said, on certain children of the king's seed and of the princes, children whom is no blemish, but well-favored, skillful all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding, science, and such has had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So in other words, the enemy wants to influence our children to give them a different language, a different tongue to speak, instead of the words of God, to speak the words of the world. So parents, as you are raising your kids, as we are raising our kids, we must always be mindful that we have to teach them the word of God, train them up in the word of God, because we're in competition with the world that basically wants to turn them out. That's what the king is saying. So I have a couple of read these. So I'm going to read these and then we'll get back into the word. It says only certain children. And it says youth, the message doesn't change because the word of God doesn't change. You always have to understand, youth, that the enemy's coming after you. That's never going to change. So our message is not going to change. We have to teach you the word of God. The enemy wants the youth who are serious about God, not ones who come to church, but the ones who are serious about God. There is a difference. And the enemy knows the difference. Somebody say amen. The enemy can't wait to send you and I and our youth through something to make you think that God doesn't care about you, that all that church stuff is foolishness and a waste of time, and that the world can offer you so much more. So forget about God and do your own thing. It's interesting, and I haven't read it, but I've talked to other pastors that have and gone through it. The Satanic Bible doesn't tell you to worship Satan. It tells you to do your own thing. By default, when you're doing your own thing, you're telling God he doesn't exist. Isn't that something you would think it would say worship Satan, but it doesn't? It tells you to worship yourself and to do your own thing. And when you are into yourself, there's no room for God. And by default, your actions are influenced by Satan. It is deep, but it's not complicated. We don't have to tell you about everything that's against our kids, against us these days. The social media, the mainstream media, the music, we don't even have to tell you the challenge that our youth are up against these days. So the enemy wants you to teach you the ways of the world. Have you looking and reading everything except for the Bible? So distracted, people are walking and see kids walking across the street, a busy street, texting, looking down. Learning the language of the enemy. Look at verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. Remember, it's not about the meat, it's about the mindset. And of the wine, it's not about the wine, it's of the influence. A daily portion of the king's mindset and influence to drink, to nourish them 3 years, underline three, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king, or they might serve the king. So the king says, if I can train you for 3 years, I can turn you out. And as Christian parents, we have to be very careful when we send our kids to college. That, why do you think college is how many years? 4. Your kids come back turned out, turned around, upside down. And not only that, we pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for that to take place. Very strategic. Satan is very strategic, family. And we have to be just as strategic in raising our kids. When you look at it, most of the times we're playing checkers while Satan is playing chess. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. Or we're playing hopscotch and jacks. Anybody in here play chess? You have to think to play chess. Most people don't. I don't want to think that hard. I want to play a game, but I don't want to think like that. I don't want to get that deep. That's how life is. Most people don't want to get that deep and think about it. As we're raising our kids and our grandkids, how deep this thing is. And I've seen kids as early as 2 years old on iPads being taught the king's language. And they grow up, and I'm not saying you don't let your kids. I'm just saying we have to monitor it. You have to understand that Satan is playing chess and you can't be playing checkers and jacks and hopscotch. 2 years old, gone. And as long as they're quiet, I'm good. That's basically what the parent is saying. As long as I can do my thing and they're occupied, I'm good. You have to be very careful. Look at verse 6. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And remember their names, they had godly names. Daniel, his name means God is my judge. Hananiah, God has favored me. Mishael, who is what God is? And Azariah, Jehovah has helped. Wow. Amen. Let me say that again. Judah means praise. They're of the children of Judah. Daniel's name, God is my judge. Hananiah, God has favored me. Mishael, who is what God is? Azariah, Jehovah has helped. Verse 7, the first thing they do is change their name. Called Daniel Belteshazzar, which means Lord of the Straitened Treasure. Shadrach, the great scribe. Meshach, guest of a king. Abednego, servant of Nebo, or servant of a false god. And family, only suggestion I have is don't let them change your name. Don't let them call you anything other than what you are. God says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are now children of God, joint heirs with the Father and heirs with the Son. God tells us in Deuteronomy 7 and 6, we are a special treasure. The king's job is to get you to live like trash. So I wrote this in. But keep going. It says, read this. It says, the world wants to slap a label on you and I. From early in elementary school, the world wants to put a satanic zodiac sign on you and I. Watch out, Pastor. I know. I'm going there. Next time somebody asks you, what is your sign? Tell them your sign is TG. TG, trust God. I trust God. I look to the one who created the stars. Not to the stars. Man, what sign are you? I'm TG. TG? Yeah, I trust God. What am I supposed to trust? A zodiac sign? Are you kidding me? A satanic zodiac sign? All right. Lighten up, Pastor. Okay, Happy New Year. Here we go. It amazes me that people would live their life and relationships based on the name of a satanic zodiac sign. And not believe what God says about them. Then our kids go to school and college and the world tells them that they are a Democrat or a Republican or a liberal or conservative, independent, African-American, Latino, Chicano, again, a WASA, a LBGTQ, a Huchi, a Thod, a Thug, send them to gender-neutral schools. And the process of eating the king's meat and wine and literature and language begins. And in 3 years, they're turned completely out. They forget that God gave them a name and a purpose and a mission and a calling to be salt and light. And after 3 years, we become sugar and spice. And there's nothing nice about that. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So make a note that you got a purpose in your heart. Youth, you have to purpose in your heart. Before you go to college, before you go back to school, family, you and I, before we go back to work, before we go to the gym, before we go anywhere, we have to purpose in our heart not to let this satanic world influence us and define us and defile us. You got it. You can't be in the situation and then make a choice, because you probably won't make the right choice. If you don't serve God on purpose, every time you're faced with a choice, you'll probably make the wrong choice. So underline purpose in your heart. Then we fast forward, go to verse 20. Thank you, Brother Chris, verse 20. So Daniel and them purpose in their heart not to eat the king's meat. And we've read the story how they are 10 times wiser than those that did eat the king's meat. Verse 20, in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. And look at the comparison, better than all the magicians and the astrologers. The astrologers are the ones that read the stars. So why God is showing you that his wisdom through this word is 10 times better, more effective than anything you could ever read in a horoscope. Or letting somebody read your palm or play some cards and tell you about your future. Are you kidding me? It's big business though, family. We've gotten so turned out and turned away from God, we'll go search for anything. But we see right here that God was preeminent then, and God is preeminent now. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the kings inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in the, that were in his realm. Then look at chapter 2 and 1. Now we get into today's message. That's a quick review, or maybe not so quick review. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep left him or was taken from him. Make a note, first off, that God speaks in dreams. Not in all dreams, but God does speak through dreams. It was probably that Christmas dinner that was speaking to you the other night that wasn't God when you was trying to sleep. Somebody say amen. But God does speak through dreams. Here's the king, and the king is having an issue because he can't sleep because he had a dream. So make a note, even the king needs the King of Kings. Make a note that titles need God too. Make a note that titles don't exempt you from needing God. I would say that because you have a title, you need God more. Amen. Whether that makes you the head of your house, the head of your company, a leader in church, wherever you are, if you have a title, you need God more. Titles don't exempt you from needing God. Here's the king. He's troubled. Why? Because each and every one of us need God. We have this hole in us that needs to be filled and can only be filled by God. If you talk with someone who has a title long enough, you will see they have a need for God as well. So don't ever be intimidated by someone's title or their position. Here's what happens. We're looking at them because they have a title and we think we want to be like them. But because we have God, they really need what we have. They wish they had what we had. And if you talk to them long enough, you'll see, man, you're jacked up. Man, you got the title and all that, but you got a lot that comes with it. So whether you have a title or not, you need God. I'm never intimidated. I don't care who I'm talking to, because I know deep down inside, if they don't have a relationship with Christ, then they're jacked up. They're not even alive based on the word. They're actually dead. They're the living dead. So why would I want to be the living dead? They need what we have. And then we get intimidated by the title and we don't even share Christ with them. So don't be intimidated by titles. We see the king right here. He needs the love of God. It's the only thing that fills the void, and we're all looking for love in the wrong places. Had the opportunity to visit or to attend two weddings this fall, and God, I mean, God speaks. How many of you know God speaks in every situation? Amen. Amen. So it just hit me. I'm sitting at the one wedding and then the other wedding. They were both, I believe, in October. And then people come to weddings looking for love. They do. They want to see, oh, is this going to be the real, the true love? I'm sorry to disappoint you. God is the true love. People are all excited and they, oh, maybe this one is going to work, and they really love you. Did you see the way she looked at him? And the way, I just hate to disappoint you. You're not going to find love at a wedding. You're going to find it in God. Amen. The greatest story that's ever told. For God so loved the world that he gave. Okay, here's the love. So think about this. You're looking for love at the wedding. And if it's announced at the wedding that he did something or she did something that wasn't cool, at that wedding's not going to happen. But at God, when he was being crucified, it was announced to him that we were sinners, acting crazy, doing anything and everything, and don't even care about him. And he said, you know what? I love him so much, I'm going to still die for him. So they're going to be my bride later. Because you all know, if you get some information about your spouse-to-be before the wedding, you're like, she did what? He did what? With who? When? Where? Oh, this thing is off. God said, this thing is on. And that's love. You're not going to find love at a wedding. You might find two people that love each other, but you're not going to find love. And it's conditional. You would hope to say it's not, but it, you know it is. You better not pull no surprises out. You'll find out. Oh, we got to hit the pause button. Time out. I love weddings. I love being married. I'm just saying that true love is God. And that's the void that's going to, God is going to fill the void in your heart. And not a wedding and not a kid. And not a job, and not a title, and not money, or this other false stuff that we get all into. Amen. Which the king finds out. He can't even sleep. Got a title, has a kingdom, and can't sleep. But he doesn't have God. And that's a problem. All right, so I wrote this. Read this. So I guess I got to, I don't know if I got to read it. I think I already said it. Titles need God too. Somebody say amen. Yes. Talk with the title long enough, you will see the need for a savior. The hurt, the pain, the need, confusion will start to reveal itself. You talk to somebody long enough who doesn't have a relationship with God, it comes out. God sees your heart and your heart. God sees your heart, and just like my heart, it's incurably sick. and needs a savior. I don't care what your title says. Your heart is incurably sick and it needs a savior. And that savior is Jesus Christ. Don't let people fool you and intimidate you. Everyone has a hole in their sick and wounded heart that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. People will put up a front, self-medicate, put on a mask to cover up the hurt, confusion, and the pain, but only the love of God can fill that pain. The greatest love has come from God. True love is in the Bible. We look everywhere else except for the Bible for true love. And it's been right there. It's hiding in plain sight, as they say. It's been right there. We're looking everywhere else. Read all these other books. But when it comes to the Bible, I got a problem with it because man wrote it, although man wrote the other books that you read and you swear by. But when it comes to you changing your life and getting saved and being born again, you got a problem with that. Because of the spiritual warfare that we're in. I have this news flash that love is not going to happen at a wedding between two flawed humans. Somebody say amen. That's why, husbands, you need to give your wife a break. Cut her some slack. Wives, you need to give your husband a break. Cut him some slack. Two flawed humans coming together. We're trying our best. It's not perfection. Staying close to God, the grace of God. But let me share this with you, what God shared with me as I was so I was preparing this message. Can I share that with you? Somebody say amen. It's deep. It's one of our sayings. It's deep, but it's not complicated. Okay. So we got all we function by systems. We have all these systems. And unfortunately, being in this world, Ephesians 2 and 2, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, John 14:30 tells us how Satan is the ruler or the influencer of this world. And we're in it. So you got to understand, the systems that have been set up have been satanically influenced. And we're in the middle of that. So here's what I'm trying to say. Like the educational system, since I'm in education, you have a system that's definitely separate but not equal. But how could it be if it's satanically influenced? So then you have somebody that'll write a book about this position of it, and then somebody write a book about this position of it. We won't read the word of God, but we'll read the books. And because they cater to our flesh and our emotions, then we take a stand and we're fighting over a system that's satanically influenced about two people who are probably atheists who wrote books, and we're fighting over that and never read our word. How about our political system? You dig your heels in, you're a Democrat, you dig your heels in, you're a Republican or independent, satanically influenced system. You read a book by somebody who's probably an atheist, they read a book, and now they're fighting over a satanic system, and where is God at in that? So I got all these systems. The financial system. Do I need to say any more? Satanically influenced over idea that money is worth something, that people are killing each other over a perceived value over something. And we never, I'm saying, we read all this other stuff, but we don't read the word of God. And we wonder why we walk around confused and empty. It's the greatest love story is right here. I don't care what your title is. We're being influenced by all these satanic systems that's been set up, fighting each other, never reading our word, never getting close to God, spinning our wheels and going nowhere. Being ineffective and not making a difference. We're called to be salt and light, and we walk around like sugar and spice. And I'm just saying, be aware of what's going on. Be aware of what's going on. So we have this king. Can't sleep. Has this dream. He goes to Daniel. He goes through all his people getting ready to kill everybody. And then Daniel and them catch wind of it. Daniel tells his friends to pray for him. that God would give him a revelation. Of course, God does. God gives him the revelation. We pick it up in verse 27, chapter 2 and 27. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot your wise men?" Daniel's clowning him. "Cannot your astrologers, your magicians, your soothsayers, can't they show it unto the, can't these false gods give you an answer?" I'm going to tell you, no, they can't. These false gods that we look to, they're not going to give us the answer that we're looking for when we're in trouble. When we're successful, when we're failing, God still has all the answers. Run to God when you're having victory. Run to God when you have a defeat. Everything should cause you to run to God. Daniel's saying, what about all these other false people you got set up that's putting on the show? Make a note that God, there are certain things that God will reveal only to his servants. Make a note. I didn't say those that go to church. It's a big difference. It says, read this, so I'm going to read it. There are certain things that God will only reveal to his servants. God will only reveal certain things to those that have a relationship with him. God will only reveal certain things to those that are sold out and surrendered to him. There are certain things you will never know about God until you have a personal relationship with God. You won't know all things because you can't handle knowing all things. Somebody say amen. You don't want to know all things. If God showed you the first quarter of 2019 what was going to happen, you'd be ready to check out right now. You don't want to know all things. You don't. You wouldn't want to wake up tomorrow. Just the first quarter. Not the whole year. If God showed you and I what's going to happen, I'm going to stay in bed. I don't even want to see that. But because we walk by faith and not by sight, we got to get up and go. But God will show and reveal you certain things. Not all things. You don't want to. I want to know. You don't want to know everything. People are so stupid. What about you? Don't want to know. You can't even handle balancing your checkbook. Go sit down and be quiet. You can't handle what you got. You're not on God's level. You don't want to know everything. We need to take things one day at a time and trust God and leave the details to God. Somebody say amen. One day at a time, trust God and leave the details to God. Verse 28, but there is a God in heaven. Underline that. It's a revelation right there. There's a God in heaven. Notice he's not down here, although we know God is everywhere, but God's position is in heaven. That's the God Daniel's talking about, not these false gods that are running around, not these people claiming to be God, not all these false religions. There's a God in heaven. But there is a God in heaven. Youth, if you don't get anything else, make known. Make it known to yourself that there is a God in heaven. And trust me, when you're at school, you're going to need him. When you go to college, you really going to need him. As you matriculate through life, as most of us are, somebody say, man, we know we need him. Thank God there's a God in heaven. He reveals secrets and make it known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Your dreams and the visions of your head upon the bed are these. And then Daniel goes on to break down the king's dream. Look at verse 36. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Daniel's standing alone, but he says, we. Make a note. Daniel, God is with Daniel. Make a note, Daniel is not speaking on his own behalf. Look at verse 30 so I can make it clear. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. Make a note, Daniel was just an ordinary person, sold out, committed, submitted to God. As a pastor, I'm just an ordinary person, sold out, committed to God. That's me personally. I can't say that's all pastors. I'm saying that's me. All you're looking at is a surrendered life. That's all we can take credit for. It's nothing special. Somebody say amen. I tell you all the time, I don't fool myself. I know what I'm dealing with when I look in the mirror. Without God, I'm jacked up. I don't be walking around here like, I know what I'm dealing with. Don't fool me. I'm telling you. I don't care if I'm meeting with a group of pastors and we're having a, man, that stuff don't impress me at all. Don't impress me at all. I know what I'm dealing with. I know what they're dealing with. And I know some of them ain't even connected to God, pretending. I know that too. So Daniel said, I'm just an ordinary guy. I have God with me. That's it. Take away God, I'm nothing. Take away God, I'm just a bunch of filthy rags. It's the only difference maker. I'm just so thankful, man. I don't fool myself. I'm so glad. That I know by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God. We can't take credit for anything. I love how Daniel broke this down. I say, man, look, don't get all puffed up on me. I have more wisdom. The secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. I don't have nothing. Without God, I don't have nothing. For their sakes, that you'll make known the interpretation to the king and that you might know the thoughts of your heart. I'm just here to interpret what God said so you know what's going on. All right, so I'm winding this down. I'm going to read this, Sister Kathy, so I got to read it before I finish up. Since there is a God in heaven, notice where God is in heaven. Make a note and never forget that there is a God. There's a God that you and I can serve on purpose and walk with daily, have a relationship with, and God will reveal certain revelations with you and I. And again, I say not all, because you know why? You don't want to know everything. Trust me on that. But certain revelations. Daniel lets him know, I'm just an ordinary person that is purposed in his heart. Remember, said in verse 8 of chapter 1 how Daniel had purposed in his heart to serve God. That's all. Don't try and serve God on accidents. You got to purposely serve God. Confessing daily, confessing sin daily, repenting of sin daily, running to God daily. How do you serve God? Let me say it again, because some people might not be sure. Confessing sin daily, repenting daily, running to God daily. We read last week in the scripture where John 3:3, where Jesus told him, you must be born again. And he said, how are you marveling? Why are you surprised that I say you must be born again? You couldn't be surprised. We talked about it. Just think about last night, some of the things you said and did. And then if you didn't say and do it, think about some of the things you thought. You can't be surprised that God said, you know, you did. You couldn't be surprised, Brother Jerry, that God said, you know, sister, you know, you couldn't be surprised, Sister Sophia, that God said that you got to be born again. Brother Mickey, now, you know, the way we grew up, we're like, God, I got it all together. Wait, brother, do I need to remind you? You couldn't be surprised. Sister Irene, you can't be surprised that God said, you must be born. You can't come like you are. God says, I love you like you are, but I love you too much to leave you like that. You got to be born again. Brother Bernie, you couldn't be. Clarence, you could. I know you. Clarence, you can't be surprised at God. Right, come on now. Let's get real up in here. You can't be surprised. What are you marveling? He said, what are you marveling? I said, you got to. Do you know who you are? Take off the mask. So Daniel says, I'm just an ordinary guy that surrendered to God. You can't marvel that God say we got to be born again. When we look over our life, okay, when we just think about last night, we know that we need to be born again. Confessing, repenting daily, staying close to God, running to God. I'm just a sinner in need of a Savior. A sinner saved by grace, that's all we are. Remember I told y'all last week, don't go to y'all family gatherings rolling up in your Jeep. I told y'all, for y'all that weren't here, that was a Jeep. That it's G-E-E-P, is your greed and your ego and your envy and your pride. Just ruined everything. And that's not me. You the one that go to church. And you the one ruining the party with your Jeep. Don't they go to church? Why is he acting like that? It's the Jeep. He rode up in a Jeep. Greed, envy, ego, and pride. You got to confess that stuff and repent of that stuff daily. Get rid of it. For you ruin all your relationships. And you the one that go to church. Why would I want to go to church if he acting like that? What kind of church he go to? What kind of church she go to? What are they learning? Obviously nothing. So let's wrap this up. Look at verse, let's fast forward it. Daniel interprets the dream and tells the king that you didn't got yourself all puffed up in pride and God's going to tear you down. That's basically what the dream said. You forgot who you are and God's getting ready to tear that whole thing down. And God's going to show you that his kingdom is the one that rules everything. So we pick it up in verse, where are we at? Verse. Nope. We did 37. All right, we're going to get there. All right, look at verse 37. Look at the king's title. It says, thou, O king, art a king of kings. Man, this dude was, God set him up. Family, God can set you up, but you can't forget about God. See, God doesn't have a problem with us having stuff. It's just when the stuff has you. He says, look, man, you are a king of kings. Look what he says. For the God of heaven has given you. Underline that. We think we doing stuff on our own. God sets you up. God's given you. God is great. God is love. God is a giver. But you gotta answer to God. To whom much is given, much is required. Said, man, God set you up. He gave you all this. This is an interpretation. He didn't realize God had given him this. So he's all troubled. He can't sleep. Because God's revealing things to him. And you know what you and I do? We go to the bottle, or we go to the medical marijuana or the recreational marijuana, so we don't have to deal with God dealing with us and telling us, I set you up and you're blowing it. See that? God says, I set you up and you're blowing it. You've forgotten all about me. So I stay drunk and high and sleeping around and watching all kind of stuff so I never have to deal with me. So he has this dream. He can't escape. He's getting ready to kill everybody because they can't interpret the dream. God steps in. Daniel steps in. His friends pray for him. And he's telling him, man, God set you up. Been running from God all these years. God set you up. He's given you a kingdom. He's given you power, strength, and glory. God doesn't mind giving us stuff, family. But we have to give God the glory. Verse 38, and wherever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven have given into your hand, have made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. So as breaking it down, God's given us everything. So it says, read this. So God's given us a position and a title. And God should never have to remind us how much he has done for us. Family, that's where gratitude comes in, and thankfulness. Before you go to bed, thank you, Lord. And you go back over your day, you go back over your life, over all God has done for you. And then when you wake up, you thank God and you're grateful. As Christians, born again, we should be the most grateful people ever. Most thankful people ever. Never complaining about anything because you didn't set yourself up. God has set us up. But then we get so familiar and things get so common, the blessings become so common, we become ungrateful. Ain't that something? We'll argue about the restaurant we're going to eat at. Some people don't even have food to eat, let alone go to a restaurant, and we're arguing about the restaurant to go eat at. We're arguing about what store to go buy some clothes at. And you know you ain't got no room in your closet. For more clothes anyway. But we're arguing about what store we're going to buy them from. We get so familiar and so common with the blessings, then that's when ungratefulness seeps in. And we walk around complaining as Christians because we forgot that God set us up. We think we set ourselves up. So, man, God's made you a ruler. God has set you up. You're that head of gold. He goes and breaks it down and shows him how he saw that head of gold being crumbled by the stone that was cut out. And we know Christ is the great stone. Then we pick it up in verse. Let's pick it up in verse 45. Verse 44. Let's do 44. And I'm wrapping this up. We're still in chapter 2. Chapter 2 and 44. So Daniel's breaking down the interpretation. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. I don't care what you got going on. It's not going to supersede God's kingdom. Which shall never be destroyed. Somebody say amen. I don't care what the world looks like now. You better believe that behind the scenes in all the spiritual warfare, it's already been done. Jesus said it is finished. And God's going to set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. He's letting them know all your stuff is going to crumble. Family, the best thing we could do is get on God's team, because everything else is going to crumble. Guaranteed. We talked about the promises of God and how sure and secure they are. This is true. This is guaranteed 100%. Verse 45, for as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Somebody say amen. That's Jesus Christ, a type and shadow of Christ. The chief cornerstone is cut out of the mountains without the hands. Who do you think doing it? God is. She'll break in the pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God hath made known to you, to the king, what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain. And the interpretation, therefore, is guaranteed 100% certified, but it's a USDA beef. Certified. It's certified. Daniel said, I don't care what's going on. This is certified. It's going to happen just the way God said it. But then look at verse 46, and we'll wrap this up really quickly. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel. It means he worshiped before Daniel. He worshiped God before Daniel. But watch the show. Okay? And commanded they should offer Daniel an offering and incense unto him, or perfume or cologne unto him. The king answered Daniel and said, of a truth it is, that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou could reveal this secret. Make a note, pause right there. That just because you talk about God and acknowledge God does not mean you've been converted by God. Sounds like the king has been converted, but he has not. He's just talking about God. This is the Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you should be saved. You got to confess and believe. He's just confessing. He hasn't made a conversion. Because when we start chapter 3 and verse 1, he's erecting a gold statue to be worshipped. So what they say, talk is cheap. It can sound good. You can't be impressed. I'm telling you, ladies, don't be impressed on the first date. It sounds good. Let a year go by and see if the talk is still the talk. Talk does not mean conversion. You can talk to somebody in the park and they start quoting scriptures and you say, well, why are you living like that? Because talk doesn't translate to conversion and surrender and submission to Christ. So what, you meet somebody in church, talk does not translate to conversion and commitment and surrender to Christ. Make a note of it. When my daughters were dating, well, actually, they still are, whatever they're doing. Hey, Dad, I met this guy. My first question is he a Christian? Oh, he goes to church. I didn't say if he went to church. Miss me on that. I said, is he a Christian? There's a big difference. Because talk doesn't translate into conversion. That's why you got to, you just hang out for a year. Keep it holy. Keep it godly. And date. That's all you can do. Is we just can teach. Because talk doesn't lead to conversion. Verse 48, let's finish this up. Then the king made Daniel a great man, although God had already made him a great man. And he gave him many gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors all over the wise men of Babylon. But make a note of this, family, and especially our youth. You don't have to sell yourself out to the world to get promoted. You take a stand for God, God will promote you at the right time. We don't have to sell ourselves out to get promoted. If Daniel and them would have sold themselves out, they would be dead now, because Daniel wouldn't have had the relationship with God to hear from God to interpret the dream, because they all were getting ready to get killed. So we don't have to sell ourselves out to get promoted or to have things. We don't. We can do it God's way and take a stand for God. I love God for that. But then look at verse 49. This is how we'll end it up. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Daniel did not forget his friends that prayed for him. Daniel did not forget the ones that when it was so much uncertainty and it was a life or death situation and they were going to be killed, he didn't forget the ones who he told to, man, pray for me that God will give me a revelation so I can go in here and interpret it. Daniel didn't go off to college and forget his church family that's been praying for him since he was a kid. Youth. Don't go off to college and act like you don't know those who've been praying for you before you knew yourself. He didn't forget those. And then it just goes to show we got to have people in our life. He kept his team together. I need these godly people around me. Keep the godly people around you. Even when you're successful, somebody say amen. When God opens a door for you, keep your godly team together that help you get there. Make a note, man, you got to surround yourself with godly men. There's no way around it. I do all I can to build up the men here so we stay tight, we stay close. I got to surround myself. I'm only as strong as the godly men I surround myself with. Who aren't going to let me get away with anything and not impressed with a title, because we know titles need God too. Man, you got it. If you're not surrounded by godly men, man, I know that you're not living successfully. You're not living victoriously. It's too much to hide. Too much to sweep under the rug. Too much to tell my wife this is a man thing, baby. You don't understand. But when you talk to real men, that stuff don't fly. Yeah, you got to be vulnerable and you got to be real and transparent. But that's how you grow, men. Daniel did not forget that he kept his team together. And ladies, you already get this. That's why I'm talking to the men. The ladies, stay tight. They stay praying. And ladies, if you're not, then you get plugged in and start praying and have your godly team and keep it together. And this is where we'll stop for today. So let us just pray quickly. And is there a youth who's closing out in prayer today so I won't forget? Dominique? Okay. Just bow your heads. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. God, so much you've spoken to our heart this morning. But the bottom line is, God, we got to run to you. We got to stay connected to you. We got to confess and forsake sin. We got to stay humble. We have to trust you. Going into 2019, we're TG trusting God, because we know that God keeps his promises. The word says not one thing that God promised failed. Not one thing. Everything came to pass. That's why we can trust God. So God, we love you, we bless you, and we thank you. Thank you for the challenge not to be status quo, but to be more than ordinary as we walk with you. So Lord, maybe someone's here and saying, Pastor, I need to take that first step. I've never accepted Jesus Christ. It's my personal Lord and Savior. Don't even know if I'm saved. Talked about being born again. To think about it, I know I can't go to God the way that I am. I shouldn't be surprised that there has to be a change on the inside of my heart to go to God. If that's you and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you this morning. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I've been so influenced by the King and eating the King's meat and drinking the wine and just floating away from God. And I need to rededicate my life. If that's you, it's just between you and God. You don't need to raise your hand. That's a heart-to-heart connection. Matter of fact, God's not looking at your hand. God's looking at your heart. It's between you and God. The word says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. For by grace are we saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God saved us. God's rescued us through Jesus Christ. We must be born again. We're thankful that we can confess our sins. God cast them in the sea of forgetfulness, never to hold them over our head again. So, Lord, as we all rededicate our life, as we close out this 2018 going into 2019, give us the strength and the courage to confess daily, repent daily, walk with you daily, and run to you daily. Reveal to us, Lord. Give us revelation knowledge as we read your word. Speak to us through dreams, Lord. We know that you speak in each and every situation. We want to make sure that we're listening. We thank you for it, Lord. Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I haven't made it official, and I want to join with South Bay Abundant Life Church this morning. If that's you, we'd love to have you to be part of our family. We're not members, we're family. We take it a lot deeper. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, how we love you on today. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your word. We don't have to guess on how to live. You make it plain through the power of your Holy Spirit and through the power of your word. Now give us the courage to live and to share Jesus Christ with others. In the midst of a fallen, dark, broken, dying world, let us share life. Let us share light. Let us share love with others. We don't have to save anyone. We just plant and water, and God, you give the increase. But let us share, because we know titles need a Savior too. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.